ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 23 एंटाइटल देवहूतिस लैमेंटेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 53। एतावतालं कालेन व्यतिक्रन्तेन मे प्रभो इन्द्रियार्थ प्रसंगेन परित्यक्ता परमात्मनः एतावतालं कालेन व्यतिक्रान्तेन मे प्रभो इन्द्रियार्थ प्रसंगेन परित्यक्ता परात्मनः एतावतालं कालेन व्यतिक्रान्तेन मे प्रभो इन्द्रियार्थ प्रसंगेन परित्यक्ता परात्मनः। Word to word translation. Etavata, so much, alam, for nothing, kalena, time, vedikrantena, pass by, me, my, prabho, O my Lord, indriya artha, sense gratification, prasangena, in the matter of indulging, parityakta, disregarding, para atmanaha, knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Translation: until now, we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification, neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Human life is not meant to be wasted like that of the animals in sense gratificatory activities. Animals always engage in sense gratification, eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But that is not the engagement of the human being. Although, because of the material body, there is need of sense gratification according to a regulative principle. So, in effect, Devahuti said to her husband, so far we have these daughters and we have enjoyed material life in the aerial mansion, traveling all over the universe. These boons have come by your grace, but they have all been for sense gratification. Now, there must be something for my spiritual advancement. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananchana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute తప్త కాంచన గోరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛగల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. భూతైర్మహాద్భిర్యయిమా పురో విభూనిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. So this chapter is titled Devahuti's Lamentation, and this is a real lamentation that we can see in this verse. It's actually the real lamentation. What is the lamentation? The lamentation is that I have wasted my time not worshipping the Supreme Lord. I have taken all my time to enjoy materially. So this is the lamentation of Devahuti. This is a real lamentation. And this is the lamentation that we need to have in our Krishna consciousness, that we had wasted so much of time not coming in touch with the devotees and indulging in so many different kinds of sense gratificatory activities. So this lamentation is nice to start with, but this is not the end. Similarly, we can see here that Devahuti is approaching the right person for that, to cure from her lamentation, that is her own husband, that is Kardamumuni. So it is mentioned in the Vedic literature that there is initially everyone perform dharma. We know dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the four purusharthas. So when one starts with following dharma or religious activities, so it can be just pious activities or dharma according to which are sanctioned by the religious scriptures. When one does that, then as a result, then one gets artha, or one gets economic development. If one follows the principles which are not spiritual, but it is ordained by the spiritual authorities, then one gets wealth. One will be able to maintain a household. One will be maintained to will be able to maintain a family. So they are in one sense sub-religious rules. So these rules will help to come to the platform of economic development. Then next one is, if there is economic development, what happens? If there is money, naturally one wants to enjoy, and that is the third step. That is sense gratification. That is the kama. Then after kama, one get dissatisfied, because how much ever one tries to enjoy materially, one cannot get satisfaction, because that's how the material world is designed. Then one thinks, how can I get out from the material clutches? Is there anything beyond matter? So that is the beginning of human form of life, as it is mentioned here, you know, athatho brahma jnyasa. So far in the animal life, there is no inquiry into something which is beyond matter. So that is a human form of life. Atha meaning now. Atha atho meaning therefore. Therefore means now I have got a human form of life. Therefore I must inquire into the absolute. So that is the beginning of Vedanta Sutra. Atha atho brahma jnyasa. So here Devahuti in one sense is starting that point. And we can relate to ourselves that, okay, we also started our point in one point in our life. Okay, now we had to take it to the spiritual life. So this is a critical point in anyone's life, the beginning of spiritual life. So yes, it is mentioned even in this particular context, that is the relationship between the husband and the wife, that is the Devahuti and Kardamumuni, This is a very important point because Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting Shruti Shastra, that dharmartha kama mokshartham bharya samprapti hetava. So, to accept a wife, there are four reasons. So, one is dharma, to perform dharma. Bharya or the wife is an encouragement. Second, artha, to gain money, because there is a motivation to gain money. So, that is also supportive by the wife. Third, for sense gratification. And fourth, moksha, to getting out from the material clutches. So these are the four reasons for accepting a wife, because it is according to the varnashram system. Now, here, Devahuti is coming to the fourth stage. So want to get out from the material clutches. So it's not just moksha, ultimately it is moving ahead to the Panjama Purushartha, which is prema, the love for the Lord. So here, Devahuti is telling, now I want something which is superior than what I have got so far. So that's where she is approaching her husband for spiritual knowledge. So this is a junction in anyone's life, and we have gone through, but this is only the beginning point. So even if you take, we started our spiritual life, and we came in association with the devotees, we started a little bit chanting, then that is a stage of initial enthusiasm. Because initially when we get something, we become very enthusiastic, right? So when we come in touch with the devotees, when we hear the philosophy, we become very enthused, right? Everyone has that experience. We become very enthused. Yeah, I got something far out knowledge. It is something which is amazing. And remember, first we started chanting Hare Krishna, first kirtan, first dancing. Can you remember that time? It is just ecstatic. I can still remember the first dance I did in this temple, right in front of the deity. Still I can remember. I didn't want to dance, obviously. You know, this is the beginning stage of devotion. So obviously dancing, you know, dancing first of all can't relate to dancing at all. And in front of everyone dancing, you know, I couldn't relate to it. So one devotee pulled me and, you know, rotated so around the deity. Still I can remember. So this is the initial phase in our devotional life where we get in touch with the devotees. We started dancing, we start tasting prasadam. You know, I used to eat a lot of khichdi. Even I used to eat khichdi as if I haven't eaten anything. You know, it's like a mountain of khichdi, just khichdi. So this is the initial taste for devotion service. Initial association with the devotees. We understand devotees are such far out people, right? We really get connected to the devotees, and we understand, you know, we had so many relation, we had so many people around, and we had so much association of so many different people, but devotees are quite different. Yes, we all had that kind of a feeling. There's some amazing people there. Then we move on with this realization for some time, but then we can come to a position of saturation because of material conditioning. We think, okay, I have done it so much. The devotees, they also have got fault. You know, even though I am chanting, I am not getting that taste. So, even though beginning is apparently sweet, then one can come to a point of stagnation. Oh, it's really, am I really making progress? Am I in the right place? Am I in the right time? You know, like that. Am I doing the right service? Do I have to go somewhere else? So, these are different questions that come to our mind after some time of practice. Why? Because of our material conditioning. So it is said, when we start devotional service, there is a special mercy that has been awarded by the Lord. That mercy is required because then only we can forget our material association. For we need to forget the taste, what we had in the material association. So if you want to forget that, we need a higher taste. So that higher taste Krishna gives. And when we get that higher taste, then what happens? Then we want to, what is this material world? We want to renounce the material world completely. And that time the preaching is also very heavy, strong preaching. We become very strong preachers. We cut everyone. We want to preach to everyone and we want to give strong messages. You know, condemning the material creation and, you know, understanding that, you know, we are already advanced. We are beyond the material clutches. So with this understanding, one may preach very heavily. But if we want to move further, we need to take shelter of the Lord. So here it becomes very important that we want to be more careful in our practice of Krishna consciousness. So it is not just the initial taste, but if we want to go further, then we need to be very, very careful in our practice of Krishna consciousness. So here, this comes to the point that one is actually analyzing one's own mind. One becomes more contemplative, seeing where am I lacking. If I am not developing the taste for Krishna consciousness, or if I am not able to maintain my taste, or even if I am able to go further in my taste in Krishna consciousness, what is lacking? Right? This is a very important point, because we need to actually look into ourselves. Am I really making progress in Krishna consciousness? And how can we do that? We don't need to ask 10 people around us, am I making progress? Am I making progress? You know, we don't need to ask. We need to look into ourselves. And what is that? We had to see, how much am I attracted to chanting Krishna's names? What is my taste for japa? What's my taste still to associate with the devotees? What's my taste in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Or Srimad Bhagavatam is my Facebook time? Or, you know, replying emails? Or, you know, distraction time? Or switching off time? You know that? That we know very well. Switching off time, right? When Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the mind gets switched off. You know, we know that very well. If you hear Bhagavatam for every day for many years, you know, devotees get this art of switching off. In fact, I was speaking to a devotee. He was inquiring about some courses in the university. So this course was about counseling. So for counseling, all the time you have to hear others' problems. Correct? No, counseling means you have to hear others' problem. So the supervisors in the institute told that we will teach you the art of switching off. Can you understand? So externally you make a show of you are listening, you are caring for the other person, but internally you are switched off. So in the same way, we also experienced the switching off. So here, to make further progress in our devotional life, we have to go beyond switching off while chanting, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, while praying. Can you imagine we can be switching off while praying in front of the deities? You start praying, you know, many devotees start praying one or two prayers or in a certain kind of thing, but the whole thing pass on, but we are not even really seeing the deities. So this is the switching off potency of Maya. Maya, we understand, you know, the different potencies there. One we are very much accustomed to is switching off. So if we want to make progress in our devotion service, we need to go beyond the switching off all the time, where we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or when we are chanting. So here, the interesting thing about chanting is, to make progress in chanting, it is we can see chanting in itself, we can generally analyze the chanting in three stages. I'm not quoting any different names. One is, we are struggling to hear the holy name. Okay, I can even go beyond one level further. I hope we are not in that stage. That is, we are not even thinking that we have to listen. That is, lips are moving, something is happening, and we are in our own world. So the next stage is better, but at least we are trying to listen. Okay, so but there is a struggle. There is a struggle, but the mind is going off from the holy name, and but at the same time some listening is happening. But there is a struggle in just fixing the mind in the holy name. Mind is just getting distracted all the time, right? I'm classifying this is one stage. Very practical. The next is, one is able to fix the mind in the holy name. Like, one can hear what one is chanting. But still, one can feel the heavy force. Heavy force is coming in all direction and trying to distract, but somehow or other pushing ourselves, you know, hearing the holy name. And next stage, broadly we can see that there is some more absorption while chanting. And the absorption means, while chanting Krishna's names, we are not checking the time. Okay, now 15 minutes more to go. or I have 5 more rounds to go, or 2 more rounds to go, or 1 more round to go, you know, then become very much elated. No, one is not doing that, but one is just hearing the holy name and one is feeling the holy name. So, in making our progress in Krishna consciousness, we need to have conscious chanting. That while chanting time, we have to be very conscious. And it is mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the greatest difficulty for a sadhaka to make progress in Krishna consciousness is because of inattention in chanting. Inattention in chanting. That is considered the biggest reason. So all other anarthas. So inattention is one of the offense, one of the aparath in chanting. So we read many offenses in the morning. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all the offenses are sprouting from this one offense, which is inattention in chanting. So now, if you try to see what are this inattention, it is very important because we are experiencing it. It is not something which is theoretical, but we are experiencing this inattention. So it is said, the first kind of inattention in chanting is because of the basic distraction. A kind of indifference. Indifference to the holy name. This is can be said as a petty indifference to the holy name. So what is that petty indifference? So this indifference is because our mind is already materially contaminated. Why? Because we were associating with the matters for such a long period in time. And we came to Krishna consciousness. So we are not yet purified. But still, when we chant, different petty things come to our mind. Oh, today, what am I going to eat? Right? In one sense, you know, what service am I going to do? Or it is not so material, but still it's also part of indifference. Then we think, you know, what is he doing? Or who is coming through the temple door? If you are chanting in the temple room, one may think, you know, who is coming through the temple door? Right? These are different kinds of indifferences to the holy name. So when we chant, we think, okay, so the mind actually goes here and there. It can be anything. Whatever we have meditated on materially, that come right at the time of chanting. So this is our to-do list, what I have to do. So these are different kinds of petty attachments. These are not, you know, extreme, you know, big attachments, petty attachments that come to our mind when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is first class of, this is called the indifference. So this is petty. Then there is a next class that is called, that is generally, it is classified as laziness. Laziness in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What is laziness? Laziness is after chanting 2 rounds, later I will do. And I have done 2 rounds, later I will do. Or few rounds I have done, later I will chant. Then we don't want to be attentive because of laziness in itself. You understand? That is, you know, I don't want, you know, I don't want, because to be attentive means you had to apply mental energy into the holy name. You have to actually focus yourself. It requires some energy. But we feel very lazy, so that we don't want to apply that energy onto the holy name. Can we feel that? Overall dullness. You know, when we take the beat, overall dullness, we feel a bit dull. So this is the next kind. This is because of the laziness. And also feeling sleepy while chanting. Nicely, you know, the head actually goes down. Maybe it will hit the beat bag. So that is sleepy while sleepy, feeling sleepy while chanting. So these are the second category of inattention, which is sprouting from laziness. So it's a broad category. So the first one is indifference, which are due to petty material attachments. And the second one is because of laziness. And in fact, we can all vouch for this. Right? We have to actually see in at a given point what is attacking me. Maybe one or two or, you know, few things are attacking me. And the third is classified as distraction. So this distraction is considered the root of all the inattention. So this distraction is the deepest. So this distraction that causes inattention, that is the deepest, and from there everything else sprout. So what is that distraction? So this distraction is, it is the our innate problem because of conditioning. So one is attraction to the opposite sex, attachment to the opposite sex. Second, attachment to wealth. Third, duplicity, and you know, the nature which is not at all suitable for a devotee. So in that way, our mind becomes distracted. We can see, and also the attraction for position, name, fame, etc. So these, if you see, these are very, very deep anarthas, right? These are very deep. These are ingrained in us. The desire for fame, desire to be glorified, pratishtha. Desire to associate with the opposite sex. Desire for money. You know, improper behavior, duplicity. So these are very, very basic. So these are fundamental anarthas, and these are considered the root cause for distraction. So it is said that if one has any of these anarthas, then one cannot focus on the holy name very steadily. One's chanting will be a bit distracted. It will be inattentive. So this is the, so when we understand this, then we understand it is a serious business, right? To get to a proper attentive chanting or going beyond nama bhas, that looks, it's a serious business. It is not something which is, it will just happen automatically. Progress in bhakti is not automatic. It's a conscious choice. This is where the problem comes. We think, you know, I'll just somehow or other, I'll finish my rounds. I'll attend some morning program. I'll take prasadam. I'll go on like that. That is not, it's insufficient to be an advanced devotee. It's a conscious choice. And there is a conscious effort. So it is said, if we have this kind of problem, which we have, then the solution is, solution is always two-sided. One is, we have the anartha, we have to try to be attentive, that we can work on our problems. And second is working on the positive side. So the solution is always two-sided. One is eliminating the negative side, and second, working on the positive side. These are the two things we need to work on. So how it works is, when we eliminate the negative side, okay, then there is not so much of force coming to us from our bad habits, from inattention, etc. And when we develop the positive side, then we are developing the higher taste. So that will attract us. So these are the two sides on which we have to work on. So on the on eliminating the negative side, we need to understand what are the anarthas, what are the offenses to the holy name. And we need to start chanting with focus. And we need to bring the holy name into our forefront. So we have to, you know, it comes to all practical things, you know, having the right atmosphere in chanting, you know, chant with the devotees, chant in the temple room. These are basic things. And chant all the rounds in one go. These are all basic things one has to focus on. To avoid and understand the offenses and try to avoid the offenses. So one focuses on these kind of things, a bit external, and also avoiding the negatives. And on the other side, one need to develop taste in hearing about Krishna. So one need to spend time understanding Krishna. One need to spend time, who is Krishna? So if we talk about Krishna Prema, we talk about, you know, ecstatic love for the Lord, etc. But where everything starts, everyone is chanting, everyone is hearing Bhagavatam. So if you really want to make progress, then first it starts from understanding who is Krishna. So that when we talk about the Sambandha Gyan, we understand our relationship to the Supreme Lord. So it doesn't stop in there. Then we try to understand who is Krishna, what is his nature, what are his qualities, what is his form, how he deals with the devotees. So when we understand more about Krishna, that is the beginning. So when we have some understanding of Krishna, second, that develops some appreciation for Krishna. So when we have understanding about Krishna, then there is an appreciation for Krishna. So when we then we try to appreciate Krishna. If you don't know about anyone, then how can we appreciate? Correct? So when we understand more about Krishna, then we tend to appreciate Krishna. So it's like one devotee was telling me, we need a Facebook for Krishna. And he was telling everyone should like that Facebook. I was telling, we already have a Facebook for Krishna. That is Bhagavatam. This is Facebook for Krishna. All Krishna's all the Leela, all the pastime, everything is there in Bhagavatam. Right? Krishna's photos are there in Bhagavatam. In the verses of Bhagavatam, not necessarily the painting, the verses of Bhagavatam, it is giving paintings of Krishna. It is giving videos of Krishna. The verses there actually showing the whole, it's the whole pastime are being narrated in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. The verses of Bhagavatam is not just static. It's not just theory, it's not just static, it is very dynamic. One, it is just a matter of our consciousness. If we apply our consciousness into the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can see whole transformation of our consciousness. If you want to know about Krishna, take the verses glorifying Krishna. Just memorize those verses, understand the meaning and meditate on them. Then we can see the whole dynamics of Krishna consciousness. We can see the whole dynamics of Bhagavatam running in our mind, in our heart. So that is really liking Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, what's the value of liking a Facebook page? Is there any value to it? You know, it is just a momentary reflection of the mind. You know, oh, I feel like clicking, click. Is there any more meaning than that? No. But real liking means liking or loving from the heart. So that is possible when we have the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is Bhagavatam. So we have Bhagavatam in our hand where we can see Krishna. So I talked about the Sambandha Gyan. So Sambandha Gyan is there in whole Bhagavatam. Describing the glories of Krishna, describing the pastimes of Krishna, giving the qualities of Krishna. So when we get attracted to them. So first is when we have this knowledge, then we develop some appreciation. Okay, we understand. Okay, Krishna is really nice. So from the heart we feel, okay, Krishna is nice. So that is appreciation. And from appreciation, one can lead to attraction. If there is no appreciation, one cannot have attraction. So the next stage of appreciation is attraction. One actually feels, one gets attracted to Krishna. And when one has attraction, then one can develop affection. So one feel affection for Krishna. So it is stage by stage. So if you don't know anything about Krishna, you know, there is no point of talking about Krishna prema or affection for Krishna. That comes later. So one needs to have some understanding of Krishna and chant the holy name and engage in the devotional process. And from there, one can come to the stage of some appreciation for Krishna. And when there is some appreciation for Krishna, then one can be attracted to Krishna. And from attraction, one can develop affection. So the development of Krishna consciousness is gradual. So one has to see, where am I at? And what I need to do to make the next step. And if we take that step, then Krishna reciprocates. So that's why Krishna, it's not that Krishna gives that taste in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, but Krishna gives that taste all the time. So whatever is necessary for us to go to the next stage, Krishna gives that taste. So in that way, we can go to the next step. And also it's interesting in Krishna consciousness, we also get the association of the devotees who are just above us. That association is very important. Can you understand? Now, we get association of the devotees who are very advanced. Of course, that is very important. And also, we do get association of the devotees who are just above us, who we can just look up to. Okay, he's just above me. That is very much helpful in Krishna consciousness because then we understand, oh, it is reachable. So let me do something which he is doing now. So in that way, we can come to the next step. Then Krishna will give the association where there are devotees who are just above us. In that way we can make progress. So on one level there is inspiration from the devotees who are in a very elevated platform. And on the other side, there are devotees who are just above us, who we can look up to. See, so this is the process. So we get that kind of association. Then we develop some taste. We develop some taste for about Krishna. If we develop that appreciation for Krishna, here is the point, we talked about chanting. If we develop that appreciation for Krishna, then naturally we carry that appreciation while chanting also. because there is no difference between holy name and Krishna. So it is an anartha to differentiate between the name and the form and the activities and the qualities of the Lord. So everything is same because all are absolute. So if you develop on one side this appreciation for the Lord, then that is carried forward for the other side also, on chanting also. So this is a process which is wholesome, because even different aspects of sadhana are interlinked, and of course that sadhana and service are also interlinked, because one carries that appreciation, one attraction for the Lord in one's service. So this is a process which is very much connected. It's not, you know, it's not really separate. The sadhana is helping the seva or the service, and in the same way the seva is helping the sadhana. So the whole Krishna consciousness process, it is in its wholesome. Everything is interlinked, everything is connected. So one makes a gradual progress in everything, both in sadhana and in the seva. One will be able to do more service, one will be able to do service with a better quality, with better consciousness, and in the same way one will be able to do the sadhana also with a better consciousness and with some attraction for the Lord. So as it is mentioned here, here Devahuti is feeling that I have wasted my time. So similarly, we also have to feel that I have wasted my time in the material world so much, and now we have the opportunity. And we can also see, even in our Krishna consciousness, how much time have we wasted? You know, on a day-to-day basis, we have wasted so much of time. Even, you know, we can vouch for that on a daily basis. You know, how much time are we wasting, using it unproductively? So one need to feel, one need to really not lament in the sense of, again, lamentation can be a waste of time, but a positive lamentation, finding fault in oneself. Oh, I have wasted this time, so I must at least use the time that I have in serving Krishna. So one need to develop that attitude. It is mentioned that one solution for laziness, you know, we have laziness and wasting time, is if we have association of the devotees who do not waste time. When we see devotees who do not waste time and they are utilizing each and every moment in serving Krishna, when we see that, in our heart a neophyte will also develop that desire that I shouldn't waste time. I have to use all time in serving Krishna in one way or the other way. So when one develops that desire, it is said that is the point Krishna reciprocates, and one actually adjust one's lives in such a way that one is not wasting time but always serving Krishna. Utilizing properly in Krishna consciousness, sometimes hearing, sometimes chanting, sometimes reading, sometimes doing physical service for the Lord. So whole day not wasting time. It is so very important, this point. So in that way one can get out from this laziness, because we are affected by laziness and dullness. So association is very important, and a conscious choice of our time, conscious choice of our activities. How am I serving Krishna now? Am I just wasting time? So by carefully following that, one can make progress. And one can feel connected to Krishna, not while in sadhana, but while serving, or while going outside or doing something else. One can feel that connection, which is essential for a devotee as one makes progress in Krishna consciousness. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
How did Krishna get his name? Krishna, why it's only? Where did the name come from?
Where the name came from? We had to understand two aspects to this. One is the pastime, and second is the constitutional truth, the tattva of Krishna's name. So, in pastime, we know that Gargamuni is the acharya of the Yadus. So he was sent by Vasudev to name Krishna, because he understood, Vasudev knew, because he's from the royal family, and he knows this is the time to name Krishna. So he sent Gargamuni, he is the family priest. So Gargamuni went and he approached Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama and told them, look, this is the time to name, Namakarana ceremony. Then they didn't want to do this ceremony in a very opulent way. So they did it in a hidden way, in the cow shed, in a hidden way. So Gargamuni named Krishna with the two, he used the two letters, Krish and Na. So he used two roots and combined and apparently made this name and gave the name Krishna. However, even though in the past time in the Leela, Krishna has been named, but still Krishna's name is eternal. So if you ask what is the origin of Krishna's name, there is no origin to Krishna's name because there is no origin to Krishna. Krishna is eternal, so is his name. So Krishna was Krishna even before birth, before appearing to the material world, and because he is in the spiritual world. All the time Krishna's name is Krishna. All attractive. Krishna means, you know, Kashyati. Kashyati means attract. Kashyati the Krishna. Kashyati means to attract. So Krishna's name is eternal. So in the past time, Gargamuni named that eternal name given again to Krishna as Krishna. Is that clear? So there is no origin to Krishna's name. Krishna's name is eternal all the time. Krishna's name was there all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
So, when one comes to the stage where there's a settling of the taste for the material conditioning, is there any guarantee that one person has that it is like, because I can imagine there's a time where chanting, there's no taste for chanting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guarantee because we can see in different perspectives. Point number one, we can see, yes, from Shastra we can hear that there is a guarantee. Shastra is giving a guarantee that one develops taste. That is one. We can see many examples in the Shastra. Even Bhagavatam in itself is an example because Maharaj Parikshit, he gave up eating and sleeping. And he listened to and drinking, and he listened to Srimad Bhagavatam for seven days and seven nights. So there are examples and in Shastra and the statements in Shastra which says it is very tasteful. Second, one can see in one's own life that there are times where you had some taste in chanting. Right? You know, it's not that no time you had taste in chanting. There are times, moments of taste in chanting and hearing. Right? So that is one second point we can see. In our own life, we can see, okay, there were at least moments of taste. Third, we can see in the devotees who are now living, the devotees who are around, who has some taste in chanting and hearing. So there are devotees who have some taste in hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's name. So one can see, one can observe them. So in three ways we can see that the taste is possible. So one is from the Shastra, second is from the devotees, and to some degree from one's own personal example, from one's own personal experience. And as one makes progress in Krishna consciousness, that becomes more factual. It becomes a reality. Indeed, there is taste in hearing and chanting. One can experience that, which won't take a long time. One get more and more experience. Initially, you know, while chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there may not be any taste. Then it'll be flickering taste. You know, Krishna gives flickering taste here and there. You know, in between one round, one tells, "Oh, it's so nice," and then it actually goes away. Then one feels, "Oh, this round was very good. Oh, I chanted this round was very good." Then, oh no, it is again fading away. Oh, then one will desire, aspire. Oh, if I could get that taste for that one round again. Then it becomes bit more of a normal thing to have taste in chanting Krishna's name. One, the heart naturally get attracted to Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. So that becomes more natural. That is okay. It is a fact. It's a reality. So the taste become a reality. And one experiences more and more as one makes progress in Krishna consciousness. So, one can see in one's life, you know. So, Krishna consciousness is very much experiential. One can see in one's life, you know. It's just spend enough time. One can feel. Yeah. Yes, bro.
I was just wondering,
Higher taste, it is very simple. If we want to understand what is higher taste is we feel happiness in thinking of Krishna or any aspects of serving Krishna or anything connected to thinking of Krishna, like, you know, chanting Krishna's names, hearing about Krishna, reading about Krishna, thinking about preaching, that is spreading glories of Krishna. So if one feels happiness because of any of this, then that is definitely higher taste. Because it is based on, ultimately it's all based on direct connection to Krishna. So that is higher taste. Not just feeling happy one day morning, I'm just feeling enthusiastic. It is good. It is maybe mode is working in a different way today, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm feeling, you know, I see the sunshine and, you know, it's a bright day, yeah, I feel very enthusiastic, yeah. Which is good. That is because of the change of the modes of material nature, which can be used in Krishna service. I'm feeling happy, at least let me do something for Krishna, which is alright. But that higher taste is directly one feels connected to Krishna, then one feels happy because of that connection. As straightforward as that. Yeah.
But then there is still a great attachment for the lower taste.
Yes.
That's something that we've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
So, does that happen, both happens together, that you endeavor the higher taste and you lose the taste for lower thing, or is it something that you have to endeavor separately?
Both. Because of developing higher taste, definitely we lose taste for the lower things, but we have a tendency to cultivate the lower taste as well. It's not that we have done something wrong. Okay, now we don't do, we don't think, we don't cultivate, we don't nurture the lower taste at all. No. We have a strong tendency to cultivate the lower taste also. Say for example, if wrong things are coming to the mind has a tendency because of conditioning to keep it and, you know, to prolong. The Maya comes inside, Maya goes inside like a pin and comes out like a plow. Because why? Because of we nourish that inside. You know what I mean? So it's not just say that, okay, we have given up. Now no more. We don't do with the mind words or, you know, action or mind words or action anything which will cultivate the lower taste. No, we do that to some degree or the other. So that will actually bring, it will actually strengthen our lower part, the lower side of us. So one need to avoid that. One need to stop that. That requires force, that requires some energy, that requires some attention. That is a conscious effort. It will not happen automatically. If Maya is attacking, then to say no, one needs some energy. One has to consciously choose to say no to Maya. So that is a conscious effort. So that has to go alongside with developing taste, directly worshipping, serving the Lord. So then there is a nice flow, there is a nice connection between the sadhana and the seva, because one is carrying the mood of sadhana into seva. One's consciousness is connected to Krishna while performing seva also. That disconnect becomes, you know, lesser and lesser as we make progress. Yeah. We get that from, again, two sides of it. One is because by the head and the heart, both are required. In making progress in Krishna consciousness, both head and the heart are required. It's not just the head and it's not just the heart. If you think, if it is just the head, that is understanding the problem with the material nature, etc., etc., which is necessary. So that is the basis. That intelligence, the spiritual intelligence that we derive from Shastra, that is the basis. That is a safeguard. So if the mind is telling which is not really meant to be acted upon, then the intelligence can definitely, that is the first protection. Then intelligence has to be clubbed with the higher taste. That is more of the heart, of the experience of Krishna. So both are required. So there is something. So the intelligence can use. Okay, it is not this. Even if you don't or think this activity, you had such such a mercy that you got from the Supreme Lord. You had such a beautiful reciprocation from the Lord. So that is of the heart. So the intelligence can work alongside with the heart, along with the feelings, along with the higher taste. So both are necessary. Both are necessary. Without both, it's not possible. Because how far one can just go with the intelligence alone? One need the taste. So one is the spiritualizing the intelligence, or purifying the intelligence, and then purifying the mind. So both are required. Or controlling the mind. And mind can become more favorable to Krishna consciousness. Meaning, more thoughts of Krishna can come to the mind, so that is more conducive in our practice. Who are the questions? Yes, Madhavi.
There is one verse in Asma Bhutri asked Krishna Bhagavad, and I will paraphrase it, I don't know. It says, yes, when we take the food with every bite, the hunger will disappear and the satisfaction will arise. So similarly, when we form the devotional service, detachment from material nature will appear, satisfaction and clarity of mind. So when we eat, you know, sometimes when you are fully eaten and fully satisfied, even if they give you whatever most beautiful thing you want, you don't want to have it anymore because you are fully satisfied. Similarly, when we become satisfied in devotional service by acquiring that higher taste, we will gradually give up, not gradually, but immediately we will give up anything that's offered to us, anything material.
Thank you.
Would the sadhana make our service perfect, or the service actually make our sadhana?
Both goes hand in hand. Both are eternal process. Ultimately, there is no difference between sadhana and seva. Both goes hand in hand. If you see in the spiritual world, they are glorifying Krishna and they are serving Krishna. So both goes hand in hand. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. In the sense, internally and externally, two different things. We speak something, we act in a different way. We think something, we act in a different way. So we can be duplicious. You know, we think, okay, I want to do this, that properly in Krishna consciousness. We may not act in that way. So we can, you know, again, that's affected by Maya. So, yes, Prabhu.
After your initial excitement goes away, do you not give up in the second scene where you don't have any taste at all?
If? Yeah, it is possible by taking the regulated devotion service. That is, we make things into our habit. For example, in the beginning itself, this must be done, chanting must be done, so we do chant anyway. So that is the process of regulated devotion service, where whether we have taste or not, we do it. So that is the principle of regulated devotion service. So we chant 16 notes, we chant anyway. Whether we feel taste or not, we chant. We hear whether we feel taste or not, we chant. So the thing is, Krishna gives the taste. There will not be like no taste any day, you know. It will not be like that. Krishna will keep us, you know. He will give the taste, and we will keep going in Krishna consciousness. But the main thing is, we shouldn't leave the association of the devotees. If you do leave the association of the devotees, then it's very difficult. It can become really challenging. Even if one has taste, still it can be challenging. So leaving the association of the devotees, that is dangerous. Otherwise, in the association of the devotees, no problem. Just continue the regulated devotional service, and that will award the higher stages. Okay. One more question, okay. Yeah.
And now I was wondering if it is like it's like a recommended process. I don't fully understand. Is it like first you see 1%, like do you engage him in economic development and then engage him in sincerity?
Yeah, that is the ancient or the Vedic standard. By following the dharma, the duties basically. Duties one, get the material facilities and then there is sense gratification. So in Varnashram Dharma, we can see such kind of a gradual progression. But if you see the current society, there is no dharma, there is wealth and there is sense gratification. The dharma, because they understood that there is no need of dharma just to get wealthy or to do sense gratification. So now, even moksha is when one is frustrated from the material life, one wants to go beyond the material life. So it's not a process one has to follow gradually, especially for a devotee. We have experience of sense gratification. We have already experience of economic development. And we are not just doing moksha, or we are not just trying to get out from the material clutches. That is insufficient. But rather, we are trying to develop attraction for Krishna. We are trying to serve Krishna. So we are trying for something which is more than moksha, which is prema, which is love for the Lord. We are aspiring for that. So we are doing our devotional service with that ultimate objective in our life. So we don't really worry about whether I have done any dharma in the sense, you know, so-called Vedic ritualistic duties, or have I gone through a particular kind of economic development or sense gratification. That is not necessary for a devotee. The devotees are trying to, we are trying to go beyond the material clutches through devotional service. So it's not a prerequisite for bhakti. Going through the stages as such is not a prerequisite for bhakti. No, even otherwise also, this is not a spiritual process. Dharma, artha, kama, they are not spiritual. That is living in the material world according to Vedic injunction. Living comfortably in the material world according to Vedic injunction. So that is the mention of dharma, artha and kama. So that is part of the, still the focus is material world. And the focus, when the focus is shifted to something which is beyond material, that is moksha. And that is when that is coming to the mature state or the perfect state, that is Krishna, that is love for Krishna. So we don't really, you know, we don't get into a living material world according to the Vedic injunctions or without the Vedic injunctions. So we are directly on to the spiritual path. So this is a primarily in a Vedic context, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. We can apply in different contexts, but this gradual process as such, it's a Vedic process. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthachyamal Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.